let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. The nonfiction The View from Brindley Mountain, a memoir of the rural South by Eugene Struggs, takes the reader on a trip through the 1940s and 50s in the rural South. The story unfolds in the lower reaches of the Appalachian mountain chain on a plateau called Brindley Mountain, a part of the Sand Mountain Ridge. The area covers lower Morgan County and northeast Coleman County. On a hardscrabble farm south of the bustling county seat, a young boy grew to manhood, dreaming of the future journeys and conquest. On the back porch of a little clapboard house, this would-be traveler contemplated the wide, wide horizon stretching out in all directions, full of seemingly endless possibilities and challenges. Little did Eugene know that he would become an international scholar who traveled extensively to Europe, Africa, Asia, Central America, and South America as director of student exchanges and study abroad for the University of South Florida. Dr. C. Eugene Scruggs retired following a long career as a professor and administrator in higher education. His career covered 40 years at four U.S. universities and two European. Following his retirement, he published three books, co-edited one other. His lifelong hobby has been art, currently lives in a retirement community in Lakeland, Florida, where he is actively involved in educational and enrichment programs for senior citizens. Eugene Scruggs, author of The View from Brindley Mountain, a memoir of the rural South, is our guest on This Week in America. Eugene, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you so much. Glad to be with you.
What a career that you've had, and it all started on that little farm when you're looking out at the expanse of the world and thinking, wow, there's a lot out there. I wish I could be part of it, and you became one. It's interesting. I described this as a hard scrabble farm. Exactly what was that like? Describe where you grew up.
A hard scrabble. It's a farm where you barely make a living. Subsistence, I suppose. There were a lot of those back in the 40s and 50s. Most of them went out of business. It meant that you borrowed money in the spring and planted your seeds and hoped that in the fall you would have enough cotton and corn to pay off your debts.
You know,
that's basically a hard scrabble farm.
Well, yeah, a lot of hope goes into that, and it's fascinating the recollection that you have of those days. They really made an impression on you, didn't they, and shaped who you've been throughout your entire career, your entire life.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. A little hard work, I suppose, will propel you forward.
That, yes, exactly, and give you motivation to maybe go beyond the mountain and find out what's out there in the rest of the world. The little town of Coleman, and I want to talk about that. There are a number of German descendants there, and it's interesting during this period how people moved around the country and settled in particular areas. Why were there so many German descendants in your town of Coleman?
Yes, that's a good question. Goes back to 1870. When Bismarck and the German Prussians were unifying, that is, forcing the principalities into one country, the Bavarians in particular didn't really want to be a part of it. They wanted to stay, you know, their own country or their own principality. They fought. One of them was named Johann Gottfried Coleman. He came to America because he was kicked out of the country. He came and he was seeking a place where he and his fellow Bavarians could come and settle, and eventually found this L&N Railroad that goes from Louisville to Nashville, and they were opening up a road down to Birmingham. If anybody listening knows Birmingham, you go right through Coleman to get there, and there was no one there except a few Indians. So he put out a notice to his friends and in the newspapers in Germany and Europe and America, come over, we've got a nice place where you can live free. And so he did. He got thousands of Germans to come. And so when I was a child, which would mean 30s, some of those people were still alive. They were old, but then the second and third generations So when I went to a store, I went to Kleindienst, Kreitlein, Stiefelmeyer's, Klein's. There were no what you might call normal
yes.
names. They were all, German.
You learned something about German, and you learned something about spelling at that early age then, too, didn't you?
How do you spell Stiefelmeyer, for example?
I can't even say it, so I'm not even going to try to spell it. There was no, like, Smith Brothers store where you could actually do that. So, I mean, it's such a slice of history.
No Jones or Smith or Brown.
Yeah, yeah.
Kleindienst. Try Kleindienst on.
The book is The View from Brindley Mountain, a memoir of the rural South by Eugene Scruggs, our guest on the program. Book available at stratton-press.com in the bookstore, available at other places. We'll give you that throughout the course of the program. I was saying it's like a slice of history when we go back and we look at this period, the 40s and the 50s, when the United States became to a great extent who we are today. And it's such an interesting look at that era, one we might not get in the history books because it's not a major part of the country. Where exactly is Brindley Mountain? I tried to sort of explain it, set the stage in the beginning. Where exactly is Brindley Mountain?
Well, it's at the tail end of the whole Appalachian chain. It runs through, you don't expect it to be there. You think, that's up in North Carolina and Virginia. Yes. And upper Georgia, but it comes right through Chattanooga, keeps coming down into Alabama, but it kind of fades away before it gets to Mississippi. But it's just hills at that point, not really mountains. But I called it Brindley Mountain because they call it that, but it's probably, it would be a hill to real folks up in Virginia. They'd say, that's not a mountain, that's a hill.
Yeah, it's...
But, all the relative. View from Brindley Hill doesn't sound very good.
No, mountain gives us a little.
Brindley Mountain have read the book. I didn't think about how many people were descendants of the man who named that. But there are Brindleys who keep contacting me and saying, I'm glad you wrote about Brindley Mountain.
Yes.
I didn't think anybody knew about it.
Well, it's a great slice of history, and it's a great story of what Gene went through as he was going up. Eugene Scruggs, if you're Googling that, that's Scruggs, the book, The View from Brindley Mountain, not Hill, Brindley Mountain, a memoir of the rural South. Talk about working on the farm. And I had friends a couple decades later in the town where I grew up, a small town, who lived on the farm. That seemed like just about the hardest work in the world. If the sun was out or even sort of coming out, you had a job to do. Were there jobs on the farm you hated to do?
There were certainly. there were probably more hated than I loved, but I would say picking cotton would have to be at the top of the hate list, because those burrs have little things like thorns on the end of them. If you're not picked cotton, you probably think, that's fun, that nice soft cotton. But the burr itself, there's five points to it. It's like a star. And as the weather gets cooler, those things get to be like a thorn. You can get really messed up in your hands and arm. A lot of people pick it with gloves.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's one of the hated ones. Feeding the animals was kind of fun. Feeding the chickens, feeding the pigs, whatever. But no. And the other thing that was hateful was bending over and picking strawberries. I admire those folks here in Florida who come to this neck of the woods to pick strawberries. That is backbreaking.
You know, that looks like it is. There's no really easy way to do that, is there?
No, you crawl on the ground maybe, but that's...
Yes.
You basically got to just bend over all the way to the ground.
This is said in the 1940s, 50s, as you're growing up. What did you do for recreation? What did you do to play games, preteen? You didn't go inside and get on YouTube and watch videos. What did you do other than, and then we'll talk about the imagination here in a second, but what did you do to play during that era?
Well, we certainly didn't. We didn't have TV. On a hardscrabble farm, you wouldn't have it anyway, but not even in the city, folks didn't have it till the late 50s as a general rule. And I went off to college before I watched any TV. And my parents got one after I left because they could afford it then, I suppose. But we shot marbles. Anytime you found a light, not flat surface that was, you know, dirt, not grass, shoot marbles. We got to be really good and mean at doing that. I love to fly kites. I would make my own kites. The kites you bought at the 10 cent, by the way, that's another thing. The 10 cent store.
Oh, yes, yes.
You go buy a kite for a quarter and you put it up one time and it crashes and it's torn into shreds. So you get some real strong brown paper and some sticks that fit underneath a shade. They had shades you would pull down and they would wear out. And so there were sticks in it that were fairly strong. And you could make the, you know, the cross for your kite.
Yes.
And then you could get some really heavy string and you could send that to the next neighborhood. You could send it way out.
It's amazing the innovation, the imagination that went into the joy as a child. And as I'm watching, by the way, the video portion of this is up on YouTube and it's on our YouTube channel. Go to thisweekinamerica.us and click on videos or just Google the program and the YouTube and you'll see Eugene there as well. Sort of the smile on your face. These would sound like, I can't imagine growing up where you have to work all the time. You're picking cotton, you've got the strawberries. You're working, you don't have video games to play. You enjoyed that childhood, I take it. I mean, just in looking at the smile on your face as you're talking about those days.
Well, it's fun to look back on. It's
more fun now, yeah.
Having been there. It's a lot more fun to look back, but I live vicariously. I'd be out in the cotton field and forget about those thorny things and think about what I'd been reading. Think about these guys out on the ocean, the sailors, or I would think about Africa and say, I'm going to be Tarzan today while I'm picking cotton. And I could imagine, you know, a dialogue between him and his apes and what have you. Living vicariously kept you sane.
Well, yes. So books were a great escape, I take it, then, for you. That was sort of... where you could actually, as you mentioned, live vicariously by reading books.
I read an awful lot because, of course, no TV. So what did you do after dark? You read. I did. I love to read and still do it constantly.
What kind of response are you getting to the book? The title is The View from Brindley Mountain, a memoir of the rural South by Eugene Scruggs, our guest on the program. What's it been like writing this book? You mentioned some people that live there were like, wow, I'm glad you remember these stories because it's a very important part of our youth. What kind of response are you getting?
Well, I've gotten responses not only from folks in the South, but believe it or not, some folks in the North who say, well, I didn't live in the South, but we did the same things. You know, we jumped rope, we flew kites, yes. We shot marbles, You know, one of the things they didn't do, though, is to tie a string on a June bug. Everybody seems to think that's a fantastic story.
Tell me about that.
A June bug is probably about as big around as a nickel. Pretty good sized bug, pretty hardy. And they love in the springtime to eat the early apples. And they get drunk. They eat so much. So you can catch them easily. If you tie a light, real light string, your mother give you some sewing string, tie it on the string of one of those, when it wakes up and not drunk anymore, it'll fly around and you can just run up and down the place with your June bug up in the air by you. you got to be crazy to do stuff like that, but, you know, you got to have fun.
But yes, it brought fun to you, and it's amazing what you can do. When you don't have what we go to a toy chest today or go into a child's room and you got all these great toys there, if you had a stick and some string, you could actually have some fun for a couple of hours outdoors and enjoying yourself. Eugene Scruggs, our guest on the program, The View from Brindley Mountain, a memoir of the rural South. The book's available at stratton-press.com in their bookstore, available wherever books are sold. Time going so quickly. A few minutes left in the program. Let's talk about that back porch. And that's sort of like the launching pad, it sounds like, for you, where you would sit and imagine. As you sat there thinking about this great world that was out there, did you ever think that you would become an international traveler, an international scholar? Was that even on the radar at that time?
Well, I had great thoughts, but I didn't see myself probably doing near as much traveling as I actually did. As I was in my late teens, my thing I really wanted to do, I didn't have a bucket list because I was too young to have a bucket list, but the first thing I wanted to do was go to Kenya. I wanted to go to Kenya and go on a safari. But I never got to Kenya. The one place I didn't go. I've been to Africa, but I didn't see what was going to happen. I didn't see that I would end up being responsible for making sure that students in any discipline could go to any university practically around the world, and that I could go and arrange exchanges in China, Venezuela, Mexico, Canada, France, of course, Germany, England. It's true. I didn't imagine it quite that far along.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned education. At that level in your life, you're there in the Brindley Mountain. Talk about the motivation you had to go to school to learn this fabulous education, being there, helping other people now. What was the motivation for that? I'm sure there wasn't like a community college right down the street from where you lived. It really took some effort on your part to get that education. Talk about what drove you to get there.
Well, first of all, in the little high school I went to, there was no counselor. You couldn't go to a counselor and they'd give you a test to see what your aptitude was.
Yes.
I thought my aptitude was probably art. So because at age 5, I started drawing and I realized that unlike other people, I could actually draw something and it looked like it. And so I ended up in grade school being the homeroom artist. So I missed a lot of drudgery in the classroom by standing up and drawing on the friezes before Christmas and Easter and 4th of July. Well, not 4th of July, but doing that artwork. So this is what I figured, well, I'll end up being a professional artist. But the more I thought about that, I thought, I like to eat. And a professional artist doesn't get to eat until he's dead.
Well, that, yes.
If he's got errors, they can eat, but
yes.
So I said, well, I better go to college. So I went to college and I was going to major in physics. And a really, really weird, it's probably take too long to tell, but I went the first day I was enrolling and I wanted to take Spanish. I'd had 2 years in high school and I went and they had no openings in Spanish. And the professor says, but I've got a beginning French. Would you like to take the French class? I said, no, I'm not interested in taking French. So I went around and around the room trying to register. I had the last name, a freshman, the last day. Nothing was available to fit my schedule. So finally I go back and I tell the fella who's behind the desk enrolling. I said, okay, I'll take your French course. And of course, I ended up being a French professor. or let's put it this way, a professor of French, even though I was sort of adopted by the French.
Yes.
By being awarded one of their high awards for disseminating French culture throughout the years.
It's just amazing the background and where it all started. And that's the topic of Eugene's book, The View from Brindley Mountain, a memoir of the rural South by Eugene Scruggs, our guest on the program. That's Scruggs. You'll find the book available at stratton-press.com in the book section there. Gina, a couple of minutes left in the program. Art's still important to you. You're involved now in vocal music. You are always learning and expanding. Talk about what you're doing now, because you're just not sitting back watching television all day. You're out there enjoying life to the max.
Well, I'm in a retirement community, which gives me a kind of, what would you call it, a captive audience, so that I can profess. So years ago, I began something called the Academy. So twice a month, we had programs where some of us would give discussions, talks, presentations. Colleges nearby, we would latch on to someone to come and talk. So that was one of the and I did quite a few of those programs, but also have offered art courses occasionally to those who wanted to. For the last year or two, we've had a great books reading group. By great books, we mean those who might have made it to the top 100 in just about anybody's survey. So we've had a lot of fun with that. And I also talk to those in assisted living twice a month in something we call the dialogue, Tuesday morning dialogue. So the effort there is just to get them talking. So we usually talk about old things, reminiscing, you know, because they can all do what I can do.
Yes.
They can go back, and they can go back further. Because believe it or not, we've got several 100-year-old people
wow.
here.
Wow, impressive. So you're still learning and teaching. Are you working on any new books? Now I mentioned that you've written three others, co-edited another one, and of course this book. Are you working on another book?
Yes, I am. I've done a first draft of something I call the Widening View. And as you might suspect, that's the sequel to The View from Brindley Mountain.
Yes.
It's the view as it widened. I won't go into it because maybe someday we'll talk about it.
I hope. I'm just thinking I really would like to read that and to talk about that. That's sort of the sequel to the book we're talking yes. about on the program. The book is The View from Brindley Mountain, a memoir of the rural South by Eugene Scruggs, our guest on the program. That's Scruggs. Book available the usual places. I'll send you to stratton-press.com, and all of this available on our website. Eugene, it's been a pleasure having you on the program. Great stories. Loved having you with us on the program to share these. Hopefully we can do it again. Thank you for being with us.
Sure. It's been a great pleasure. Nice to meet you.
Thank you, sir. It's been my pleasure. Eugene Scruggs, author of The View from Brindley Mountain, a memoir of the rural South. Book available at stratton-press.com. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.